Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Well, today is Easter. Let me try to make it more clear. Today is Easter, the highest day in the church's year of grace, the feast which all other feasts stem, the feast which Mother Church is unrestrained in her joy, the feast which blood and bones to thrill as very mention, Easter. However, as I mentioned in a sermon just a few weeks ago, in the early church, Easter was their only feast. Everyone's anniversary of baptism would have been Easter. Every commemoration of our Lord's life and event would have been taking place on Easter. But as the church grew, the beautiful church year began to develop, and other feasts began to be. Christmas, Epiphany, All Souls, All Saints, the Feast of Corpus Christi, the Feast of Blessed Virgin Mary, and today, almost not quite, but almost every day has a major or lesser feast attached to it. It is a beautiful thing, except some might say with only one tagline, Easter. Some might say because of the development of the Christian year and the feast days spread throughout the year, Easter has lost some of its up. Its centrality as a central feast. But Easter would say to this, I'm not worried. I'm not worried. I know who I am. I'm the feast that tells us the love of God overcame even the sting of death. I am the feast that says this. Indeed, this is my favorite spiritual phrase. There is no pit so deep that God's love does not keep her still. Can you say that with me?
Yes.
I know you will, Ayana. There is no pit so deep that God's love does not keep her still. Remember that. Because if you're like me, you might need it one day. Because you know life is not easy. It is transitory and has tragedy in it. And we live in a world full of tragedy. What Easter has to say to us that the love of God is greater than all. And if Easter seems indeed to elude us, if it seems to be some distance, we have a tutor, much like Christmas. Remember in Advent, we talked about John the Baptist and the Blessed Mother Mary, where our tutors help us understand the Christmas story. We have a tutor too for Easter, and we need it because sometimes it does move. Remember once the woman leading the Easter Mass turning to me, she said, you know, I have to confess that Christmas is my soul. That is what caused my soul. You need a tutor. The tutor for Easter is Mary Magdalene. The central figure of the story today, the first person to witness and to see the risen Lord. She came to the tomb and she found it empty, and she ran to tell the disciples, the chief disciple Peter and the beloved disciple John. And it says that they ran to the tomb, and we have a piece of trivia that's curious to me. John could run fast. He outran Peter. He's probably younger. But then he got and he looked in, but if Peter, who's a brave one, because we got there, he just charged into the tomb. And then Peter and John did what we men often do. They ran around and they ran somewhere else. But Mary stayed. Her tenacity. She sought the object of her love and she wouldn't leave. There's a sister story to Mary Magdalene in the Old Testament for this tenacity. And it's the story of Jacob, the grandson of Abraham and Sarah. Remember, he was going home after many years to face his brother who had vowed to kill him, to face many difficult things. And at the fork of the Jabbok, it said that he wrestled with a heavenly being, with an angel. He wrestled all night long, and through the hours, no one was prevailing. But it said he wouldn't let go until he got a blessing. And at daybreak, the angel had to touch his hip to place it out of socket. Only in searing pain would Jacob let go, but not before he received his blessing. His name was changed from Jacob to Israel, the name that would become the name of a great people and a great nation. And then centuries upon centuries later, Mary Magdalene stood at his tomb with the tenacity of Jacob. And then the story becomes so beautiful. She sees the person she supposed to be the gardener. And she uttered one of the most haunting, vulnerable phrases ever uttered by a human being. "Sir, just tell me where you took him, and I will carry him away." And finally she said her name, Mary. And it was at the saying of her name that she came to see the risen Lord. That was a miracle. And if the story touches us, if it tugs our soul, there's a reason for it. Because the story of Mary Magdalene is the story of you and me. We are called by name in the same way, first at our baptism and then daily since. And we search like Mary Magdalene. Think about baptism and all the sacraments. Did you know you can't baptize somebody without saying their name? But suppose if someone's in a coma and they haven't been baptized, you don't know the name, you could do it. But we are to say the name of the baby, as it was last night on Duncan River, we would say, "Name this child." That's the christening part of the baptism. And then for an adult, we would say, as we did yesterday, the priest would simply say, "Matthew Joel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." All the sacraments have our names. The last rites, when we die, the priest says our name as we're anointed on the head, the lips, the hands, the feet, the nose. At our confirmation, the bishop says our name appears in front. When we're married and we're ordained, our name is said. At Eucharist, the great sacrament, a name is not said, but it is implied. The most intimate, precious sacrament. Because we honor the vulnerable fact that Christ and God know us by name and by need in the sacrament. So we search like Mary. Have you ever lost something of value in the house? I have, and I go back, and I know it's gone, but I go to the same places all the time. I'm just going around looking. Same door. I said, "Look here before." That's what Mary was doing. Twice she looked in the tomb. And she searched, but it was in the context of her searching. You know, people say, "Oh, I found the Lord." You never find the Lord. The Lord finds us as he found Mary. He said her name, and then she saw. But it was in the context of her searching. She was not passive in her salvation. We are not passive. We're called to be active. So when it comes to Bible, or to church, or to mass, or to prayer, or to the imitation of Christ, even when we don't consciously realize that we are trying to be like Jesus in what we say, what we do for the greater good of others, brothers and sisters, that's searching. And God honors that. As he honored Mary Magdalene, and her names are said. So what we celebrate today, that our names are said. The last few days of the Trinity, in our meager, fragile way, we try to reenact in the ancient liturgy the last events of our Lord. We made mistakes, but we offered what we could because we were searching. And then today, our Lord says our name, and we see the risen Lord. It's true for Mary Magdalene, it's true for me, and it is a promise to you. And so today, with this belief, with all authenticity and some joy. And you know what? We need love. We can say with all our heart because of our name. The Lord is risen. The Lord is risen indeed.